Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Ah, Uncle Jaseneb, life, liberty, prosperity, yet another decree stolen from you and me. The ancestors of the Nile Valley left us other messages too, like, let food be your medicine, and let your medicine be food.
Why is food and drugs under the same administration? They putting drugs in the food to keep money accumulating now. They like to call it additives and preservatives, slowly killing everybody that purchases it. Can you pronounce what's on the back of the label? Then that shit we need to keep off our dinner table now. The food is what's fueling these diseases, paying rich doctors all these medical fees, but they never cure you, they just keep you in need, cut you open for surgery and let your pockets bleed. See, we got away from what we used to eat. We forgot we were kidnapped and forced to eat meat. We ate from the earth, so we communicated with it. We cut the conversation, now check the situation. See, blacks the leaders in heart disease, cancer. We give them money like pills is the answer. Damn, I'd be wrong if I didn't pass the info. Hormones in the food got you thinking like a nympho. Wonder why all these young girls so thick, like a baseball player. Steroids is it. They got it in the vegetables, the fruit, the meat, and all the fast food they be selling in the street. It's a war going on, and our diet must reflect it. We all got the power, we just gotta direct it. Neglect it, never. Refer to the metal nature that Imhotep's the father of medicine.
Greetings, family. Thanks for joining us again for another edition of Food for Medicine. I am one half of your host, Kenya Jones, and I'm going to be bringing my sister in momentarily. But I just want to welcome all of you who are listening in with us today. This is Food for Medicine. If you want to check out past shows that we have done, please do so on our website at dynastynetwork.net. Once again, that's dynastynetwork.net. And I just, like I said, I want to just welcome everyone who's coming in. And if you're not familiar with me, I am Kenya Jones, and I am a nutritionist and a herbalist. And I'm going to go ahead and bring in my sister, Dr. Tashibi Azira. Are you there, my sister?
Yep, I'm here. Peace, everyone.
Greetings, greetings. I just want to, you know, have you introduce who you are, what you do, and we're going to go ahead and get into the topic of today, which I am really looking forward to.
Oh, yeah. So, again, greetings, everyone that has been with the Dynasty Network family, and those of you who are new, welcome. My name is Dr. Phoebe Adiro, and I'm a naturopathic physician, primary care. That means I use holistic therapies that work with the body naturally to bring about balance and health. And my favorite modality is using diet and nutrition, of course, because that's why we bring this information to you, and herbs as well. Botanical medicine is another passion. So we're going to definitely talk about that today.
Yes, yes. And let me just go ahead and give you all the premise of Food for Medicine. The premise, give me one second, guys. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Okay, yeah. Let me go ahead and get the premise. The premise for Food for Medicine is to enlighten African people on how to use food, not just as an alternative to medicine, but to use it as it was intended by our ancestors. This show is designed to teach you how to eat to live instead of living to eat. Ashe.
Ashe.
Wow. And to today's topic, like I said, this is always the soul. The summer solstice, food for summer solstice. Now, sis, I know you have an announcement to let the family know, but today's topic, I always ask you about the topics and what, you know, gave you the inspiration to do these topics. So if you can just give that information to the family, we can go ahead and continue into the show.
Yep. So the topic for today is food for the summer solstice, and the reason for that is mostly because the summer solstice is coming. It's coming on the 21st of this month, and I wanted to really I like to talk about just observing these different times in our the year, throughout the year, because there are ways that culturally that tie us back to our original culture and how we how our ancestors teach us to observe our environment and to relate to our environment, because it just helps with, you know, living life a little bit more purposefully and more in tune to our natural surroundings. So I wanted to do that just to bring awareness for those of you who have been observing the summer solstice. Great, this is just going to be a discussion that you can be a part of. But if you haven't observed the summer solstice before, I wanted it to be kind of an introduction to that. And then, of course, because this is food for medicine, I want to talk about ways that we can use our foods to utilize this time and harness the energy, because it's a very this is a time of very high energy and useful energy that we can use in our lives. So that's why I decided to do it today. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. And I don't know if you wanted to also tell them about you, sis, because you also are, you have some wonderful skills that you're bringing to the table as well.
Oh, yes, yes. What I have a passion, of course, you know, as far as health and wellness goes. And for those of you who are not familiar with my story, you know, I was played with a host of different illnesses. And over the time, changing my diet and, you know, things of that sort, was able to heal myself. Mm-hmm. And I've been on this journey for years. And in the process, I've lost over 100 pounds from my highest weight. Mm-hmm. So I'm very proud of that. And I have, you know, some ways to go. But health and wellness is my passion. And, you know, I always try to encourage our people, especially those who feel that they, you know, have things that they, it's plagued with due to family history and things, that you have a birthright to be healthy. That's a birthright
yes.
for everyone. So that's mm-hmm. one of my passions, is to, you know, empower people to go within and heal on different levels just so they can heal all of, holistically heal. And I did a lot of my self-healing with herbs, you know, and cleansing. So, you know, that's my stuff. That's my stuff. I do a lot of bitters. I know that ain't everybody's thing. It wasn't mine, but I tell you, I love them. I love them. So.
Yep, they're great.
Yes,
And I did want to make an announcement, like you mentioned. Today is going to be the last live show that we're doing until August, just for the rest of the summer, just because we need to take a little hiatus, particularly with me, because I'm actually going to be doing a lot of traveling that will not permit me to do the show every week as consistently as I would like. So just like how that happens every year, like once a year, I usually always have a time
have
and I can't, a little hiatus. Yeah, just because I things regarding my work requires me to travel a little bit more during this time of the year. So this is when we usually take off, and I will be back. We will be back at the end of the summer, or in the fall, going towards the fall. But August, that's what we're looking at. So just so that you know, this is the last one, but this is another great place for us to leave off, because again, we're talking about new beginnings, new season, you know, we're going into, and, you know, I thought it was a great topic to kind of leave for you all, for the family to go forth and do something for themselves to begin the year with as well. So new beginnings for all of us.
I was just going to piggyback off of you going on your hiatus and, you know, doing your thing. I was just going to tell the family, we have so many shows. We've been doing this show over 2 years, so you can always go onto our website. You can always go onto our website, and you can check out the archive, because we do have a host of different things. And, you know, so just in case you missed us, you want to listen to us, I miss Kenya, so I'm going to just go over to DynastyNetwork.net and check out some old shows, you know. So there you go. There you go. So you won't miss us like that.
Yep.
But if you can always find me on Facebook, the Like Our Life page, Food for Medicine, it always stay active over there. And this also gives them your practice page too, so they can check you out over there.
Yes. So my Facebook page for my practice is called Nkingu Health, which is spelled
N as in nighttime, apostrophe K-I-N as in nighttime, G-U, health, H-E-A-L-T-H. And then you just put that in the search engine on Facebook and it should come up. I'm the only one. And then if you want to also get more information about me and my services, you can go to my website, which is Ask Dr. Adiro, A-S as in safflower, K-D as in diamond, R, A-D as in diamond, I-R-O, Ask Dr. Adiro. Weebly, W-E-E-B as in boy, L-Y, .com, and then you can find a list of my services. Any information that you need about me professionally is on there so that you can contact me. And then you can, and then if you just want to shoot me an email, you can do that on my website as well, but if you want to know my email address, it's askdradiro@gmail.com, and you can also send any questions, comments, or concerns to us that way. And also, before I forget, this is a live call-in show, so if you want to contribute to our conversation, add a little 2 cents in there, or have a question for me or Kenya, you can call this number, 646-716-7572, and then you can press the number 1 if you want to raise your hand, and we'll get to your question in the order that they receive. If not, you can just sit back and relax and enjoy the information. So with that, yeah. Oh, go ahead, sis.
No, I was just saying indeed. Because, you know, I always forget to let them know that they can go ahead and press that number 1 if you have any comments or, you know, questions or concerns or whatever. And, you know, feel free to just go ahead and do that. And also, we always welcome you to that we have not touched that you would like for us to discuss. And we always welcome that. So go ahead.
Yeah, we love
I'm ready for that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, make sure you have your pen and pad. Right, make sure
yes.
you have your pen and pad so you can always take notes. I'm a note person, so I love always having my pen and paper ready.
I definitely feel you.
Yes.
I definitely feel you on that. I'm a note person, too. So, yeah. So we're going to get right into it because, once again, I have plenty of information to give. We only have a little less than an hour, like about 45 minutes now. So let's talk about the summer solstice, which is one of my favorite celebratory times of the year. Because, first of all, summer is my favorite season. Well, should I take that back? Spring will be my first, and then summer. I can't really say that either one is the most favorite. They're probably just the warmer time of the year is my favorite, period. So spring to summer, that's a Phoebe's time. And, you know, this is just a awesome traditional day of observance, just for us as a people, you know, as African people, the time that was celebrated. And it's not necessarily on this side of the water that the solstice was, like the way that we're going to talk about the solstice is going to be in terms of traditional, the way that indigenous African cultures observed it. And of course, each culture had different ways that they celebrated it, but we're going to talk about mostly the way that our Kemetic ancestors looked at the solstice. But everyone had something that they were doing during this time of the year, and in most parts of the continent, they were doing things similar to how people in Kemet were doing them. So I definitely don't want to generalize, because I know that there are a lot of cultures in our continent, in the continent of Africa, but there's a lot of similarities as well. And anyway, it was observed there, even though they don't have the seasons like how we have here. And in many parts of Africa, you don't have the same types of seasons, like, you know, spring, summer, fall, winter. But that time was still observed. Even the people who were over on this side, that time of the year was still a time when some similar things were happening as far as the daily activities and things. So we're going to talk about that as well. So you're going to get... We'll talk about food to eat during this time and things to do with our diet. But this is also going to be some, like, cultural, spiritual food that you're getting, too, from me, as far as things that are going to feed your mind and feed that hunger that we all have for returning to our cultural, our natural, culturally affirmed selves, right? So this event, the summer solstice, what is it even? You know, some people may not be familiar exactly about what the summer solstice is. So what the summer solstice is, it's thought of by, well, not thought of, but traditionally, this is the time that we would call the real start of summer. So the summer solstice falls this year on June 21st, Central Standard Time around 11:39 a.m. But really it's going to be what usually people just observe it when it's about 12 o'clock, noon, whatever, wherever they're at, that's when the solstice is usually observed by people. And it's that exact time when the sun reaches its highest point in the sky relative to the north and south poles. So that's going to be when the sun is highest in the sky, you know, out of any day in the year. And it also marks the longest day of the year in the northern hemisphere, meaning that we're going to get the longest duration of sunlight on that day. So June 21st is going to be the longest duration of daylight that we're going to have. And after the solstice, the days will progressively get shorter, you know, of course, until we start falling back into the months of fall and winter. So, but let's get culturally relevant and talk about the summer solstice in the way our ancestors in Kemet viewed it. So if you break down the Kemetic word for the solstice, this will help us to really understand the true meaning behind this day as far as, you know, we are concerned. So our ancestors, our Kemetic ancestors, they called this day Ikhemset. Ikhemset, I-K-H-E-M-S-E, three different words, Ikhemset. And Ikhemset translates to the day of not serving destruction. Because, and so you say that because the sun, and for those of you who are into Kemetic cosmology and who know about like the Neteru, the Neter, or they call it the god of the sun, or the god that represents the sun, the Neter that represents the sun is Heru. So Heru represents the sun, and during this time, the sun, or Heru, is remaining in the sky for so long during this time, hence, you know, the longer daytime, it's said to be at rest. So the sun is said to be at rest during the solstice, or standing still. And that's what Ikhemset means. So the sun is standing still, and therefore Heru's progression, or the sun's progression after that point, it's going on to the rest of the journey of its life, you know, going along its course, you know, during that course of which, you know, Heru's usually in all of the cosmology stories, he's faced with a lot of challenges and different triumphs and then more challenges and then some triumphs, you know, just like how all of us do in our life, you know, here on Earth. And, you know, the sun is setting, I mean, the sun is resting during this time because after such a victorious year or after such a busy year of accomplishments, of overcoming challenges, you know, just living your life, doing the things that you need to survive, you know, just basically doing your thing all year, to be a time of giving thanks and reflection on the energy and the strength that you innately have in you that allows you to do all this work, right? So this reflection is, this time of reflection is meant to lead to an attitude that is self-motivating. You know, it's used to cultivate kind of like more self-inspiration, or you to be inspired by your own creative zeal and your own contributions to your community. That's what we're sitting, that's what we're going to be observing and reflecting on and celebrating. Everybody's ability to do that, because if we weren't able to do that, then we wouldn't survive. Then society would cease to exist. So in this way, you're kind of always giving an internal incentive to continue your work. This is like a goal point, you know, for each year. Like, oh, man, so I did it this year again, you know, or, oh, yep, we got through another year, you know, put in that work, and this is where we're at. So it just motivates you to work hard for yet another year to come and more to come with the confidence in yourself and in your community's ultimate success in it all, because that's the whole point of you having a life that is full of a purposeful work. That's what you're brought here for, a purpose, you know, and you fulfill that purpose each year, or you are working towards that purpose each year, and that's what we're celebrating, the goal of another year coming in which we are, you know, fulfilling these goals in our lives. So the summer solstice and the season of summer in general, you know, when we talk about, because I've talked about the seasons in other shows and I talk about living with the seasons, and this is just a part of living with the seasons. When we talk about summer, you know, this season can be thought of as representing fire. Summer is all about fire, heat. You know, fire is a raw, unadulterated, forceful energy that most things won't or they can't stand in the way of. So because of that, fire can make its own path, whatever, wherever it pleases. You know, fire, too, even though it may seem like a destructive force at times, it can also leave in its clear path really ripe and fertile ground that is rid of obstacles, challenges, you know, anything that would try to stunt the growth of new creations. Fire does that for us as well. You know, we see this when we're in agriculture, we burn or we till the land in order to get rid of any unwanted weeds, to prepare the soil. You know, fire brings a great creative foundation for us, you know, a clean slate for us to build upon. And that's what summer is allowing us to do as well. This is that type of energy that summer brings. And it's just an unstoppable strength and a willingness to do things that we're supposed to have in the summertime. It's supposed to kind of like recharge us and give us that energy. Usually people's attitudes, you know, if you're in sync with, you know, the natural rhythms of our environment, it gives you that energy to want to do. People are usually wanting to travel more. They're wanting to do stuff. People are wanting to cleanse. I don't know about everybody else, but me, and I know most people I know, that you want to eat lighter. You don't necessarily want to eat as heavy, even though a lot of times people do eat very heavy in the summer, especially when we have cookouts and all these things. But usually people will eat lighter. They want cooling things. They want watery things. You want things that are going to help the body feel more light and not bogged down and sluggish, right? So that's what this energy is during the summer. So basically just giving us that energy to do the things we need to do, to put in work. Think about summer as doing the work and clearing and manifesting. So ancient Africans celebrated and believed that there was a connection between the celestial bodies and ourselves, right? So, you know, there goes the saying, as above, so below. So we are because they were and all of that. Therefore, the cycles and movements of the celestial bodies in space, you know, they have a direct impact on the activity of life on Earth. So you see the moon affecting tides and the way that plants receive water. You know, that's an example of how the celestial bodies affect Earth. Also, when plants bend toward the sunlight and even when there's a change in the seasons that brings about different attitudes and behaviors in people and animals, those are ways that, you know, the celestial bodies or the heavenly bodies, whatever people call them, affect things on Earth. So for this reason, during the summer solstice and even during the winter solstice, any time that there's a change or a shift in the seasons, traditionally people would use this time to slow down or take the time to recognize certain aspects of life and living associated with this day. So for many of our ancestors on the continent, harvest time was approaching at this time of the year, which makes sense because energetically when we look at summer in relation to other seasons, such as fall and winter being a time of dormancy, you know, that's usually a time of hibernation, storage, building. That's winter. That's fall. But and then we have the spring, which is a time when those dormant things are coming into manifestation. You know, your things are springing forth into life. You know, spring is associated with newness, green, you know, birth, rebirth, growth. Spring is associated with the execution of things planned during the winter and fall months. You know, those things that we planned and hibernated and stored up for and built during the cold months of the winter and the fall, we're bringing those forth in the spring. They're new. They're green. And then when we move into summer, which is the season we're in now, that's the time of the highest energy. On the clock, it would be 12 p.m. sharp and the best time to put in work, like I said. Fire energy, removing obstacles, carrying out those new endeavors, bringing in the harvest from those seeds that you planted before, literally and figuratively. So this is summer, and traditionally our ancestors utilized this time of the year in that way to get things done. But remember, the sun is standing still also, right? So that means it's still a time of observation for the people. The summer solstice was the start of the new year as well, like I mentioned in the beginning. you know, and it's not like how in the West, if you look at the Eurocentric observation of the seasons, where January 1st, you know, dead in the middle of the winter, right, is the first of the year. But that's not the way our ancestors looked at it, you know. It was the time when things were ready to harvest, and then it was also time to put more seeds down so that you can plant and get ready for the crops for the next season. That's when the beginning of the year started. So it was important for people to take some time out during this time in our communities and to reflect and rejoice over all of the accomplishments that they achieved over the year. And also in Kemet, the observation of the solstice allowed, you know, a time to prepare for a season of either an abundant or a scarce harvest due to the fact that at the coming of the solstice, which was noted by the manifestation of the star Sedepit or Sirius, the dog constellation, the Nile River would actually flood during this time of the year, and it would thus make the soil fertile. It would, like, turn the soil black because that the ground would be saturated with this water, and it would be black and rich and fertile and ripe for bringing forth an abundance of crops for that, you know, for that next season once the planting went on for that season. So depending on how high or low the flooding was that year, you know, it would determine the amount of foods and the plant resources that the Nile Valley communities would have for that year coming after that. So, you know, so not only are you harvesting the crops from the floods that came the year before, but now, you know, you're harvesting and then you're wanting them now to flood the land once again so that you can make for, so they can make fertile ground for you to be able to plant and have a harvest for the next year. So this would allow people to then prepare accordingly for the months to come, you know. So that's another thing that, that was observed as well. So today, 2015, you know, right, we're looking at ways that we can utilize this time of the year for our own well-being, right? How and what kind of ways, you know, can we take advantage of this energy of the solstice? Well, we're going to start talking about that right now. You know, ways that we can use our foods and things that we can incorporate into our lives during this time that will bring about ultimate healing and rejuvenation for this time of the year. So the first thing I have on my list is that the solstice is just a really powerful time to do any kind of cleansing for your body. So if you've been wanting to do a cleanse, then take advantage of this energy, right, so that your body, because your body's already in the mode of wanting to be light and fit and to do work. So if you are going to take the time out to clean it out, perfect. That'll just help with what it's naturally trying to do anyway. So this is a great time to take in fresh juices, to eat an abundance of veggies, fruits. If you don't already, like if you're having trouble or you know that you need to get more of these foods into your diet, great time to start doing it is now. Drinking plenty of spring water, staying away from those junk foods, and pay special attention to your health in general so that you can meet the new year on point. You know, this can be a goal for yourself to start the new the real new year off, you know, with a thing. Sorry, y'all, I just dropped my headphones. But you can start the new year off with a much better bill of health for yourself that you cultivated in yourself. The first thing, so I mentioned drinking more water. That's like the first thing that I would say people should do more of when it comes to incorporating things into their diet for the summer solstice. You already should have been drinking more water just because the temperatures are a little warmer depending on where you're at, and people are probably spending more time outside doing all these festivals and all these events that usually go on in the summer months. Just drink more water in general. First thing in the morning, I always recommend people consume a glass of water at least, but as much water as you can. It's just a great way to start your morning. When you cleanse, you know, when you're on a cleanse, your body, even if you're not actually on a cleanse, like purposely on a cleanse, when you sleep, your body's cleansing and rejuvenating itself. So when you wake up, that's the best thing you can do for your body to help to flush out anything that it has removed from the tissues while you were sleeping. So That's why they call breakfast break fast, because that's what you're doing. You're breaking the fast of sleep. So the best thing to break a fast with is water. You know, your body's made up mostly of water. You need water for all biological processes. So dehydration, like I've mentioned in many other shows, is a very serious factor when it comes to different ailments that arise in people. So a lot of times people are dehydrated. And when you start hydrating the body, you start seeing the symptoms of a lot of different diseases, especially things like headaches and allergies and stiffness and problems with the joints. And those things actually have dehydration as a big part of them. So during this time, it would be great for you to add in some more water into your diet to help with some of these things and to help with detoxification. Also, another thing you can do is to consume water with the juice of a lemon. This is also a great tonic drink to prepare. It's hydrating, it's alkalinizing, it's liver cleansing, it replenishes electrolytes, it helps move the bowels, especially so if you've had like problems with irregular bowel movements, if you're constipated, suffering from constipation, then drinking water. You can do it either room temperature or warm. Sometimes the warm water helps with moving the bowels and with cleansing a little bit better. But you can use lemon or lime. Lemon and lime are great. I actually like lime better. I feel like limes are more alkaline than lemon. But you can use either one that you choose. And then, again, it just helps with flushing the system, especially if you do this first thing in the morning. I've even had people do it in the morning, and then they can do it again, like before they go to bed or after a meal. It's you can't drink enough of it. You can put lemon or lime juice in all of your water, especially if you're somebody that has problems with drinking water because you don't like the taste. You know, you can always do that. You can even add a little kick to this. Lime water or lemon water. You can add a little pinch of cayenne pepper. And what that's going to do is that cayenne is also a very alkalinizing herb. So if you add that to your water, it's just going to boost the alkalinizing effects of that tonic drink. And then you can follow that up with another glass of just plain water or two glasses of clear water, plain water, just to continue to hydrate and flush your body out. Also, what you can do during this time is to eat light. Eat light and eat hydrating plant foods during this time of the year because, again, it's high energy, it's fire energy. You don't want to be weighing the body down during this time with heavy, rich, starchy foods because it would just make your body sluggish and not as free to detoxify itself. And the most important meal is the first one, right? So we talked about making sure that meal is really hydrating. Preferably water should be the first thing that you drink or some kind of tonic like the one that we mentioned. And this can really set your tone for the rest of the day. When you make good, healthy choices, especially with your diet, at the beginning of your day, it just really, it has like a domino effect for the rest of the day. It makes you feel good, and you want to. Most people want to carry that feeling with them for the rest of the day. So it makes you actually more inclined to make even healthier choices later. And this is what we're trying to do. If you're trying to start off this new cycle with better health habits, this is a great way to do it. If you want to start with health, with better health habits, if you want to start a lifestyle with better health habits, then start them. You know, this is the start of a new year, then start it. Take that energy and let it support you and make those better decisions that you know are going to be helpful. For a cleansing breakfast, I recommend consuming watery fruits or vegetables for several reasons. You know, one, because we're coming out of, you know, that sleep fasting time, and you don't want to bog the body down in the morning when it's trying to wake up. You know, so things like citrus fruit, coconut water, berries, melons, all those are great for breakfast food in the morning. And all these fruits contain an abundance of antioxidants, vitamin C, carotenoids, minerals, fiber, and of course purified water. I said in other shows that the best and most purified water you can get is from organic vegetables and fruits because that water has been filtered through the fiber of the fruit And you can't get any more pure than that. And it has a natural balance of electrolytes that should be there. So it's perfect. Now, let's say you have problems with blood sugar. Okay, and you can't eat a lot of fruits. Fine. You can. Most people can handle berries. And then if you can't eat, and if you're limited with the amount of fruit you can eat, let's say that you have problems with digesting fruit, try eating cucumbers, because cucumbers are basically sugarless melons. And melons are a very important summertime food. So you don't have to skip on the nutrition of melons. Just get a cucumber. Or these, even if you go to, like, Asian stores or, like, West Indian stores, they usually have these types of melons that are not sweet. There are many different kinds of melons that are not sweet. You just have to explore. But cucumbers are the ones that are most common. So you can make a salad. Yes, I said a salad for breakfast in the morning with a cucumber. And that can be your hydrating, you know, summertime breakfast. You can even make a drink. You can juice the cucumber. You can put it in smoothies with greens or whatever you wish. And also, since I mentioned smoothies, you know, smoothies are another excellent breakfast to consume during the summer solstice. They are just a great way that you can put a variety of different fruits and vegetables all into one convenient drink and just, you know, knock it back, and that'll be your breakfast for the day. And you can depending on the kind of blender you have, you can really pack a smoothie full of some really some very cleansing, nutritious, hydrating foods. So if you don't have a good blender, then it may be that time for you to invest in a good one so that you can have, like, really, you can pack those smoothies full of greens and healthy fruits so that they can, like, blend together nicely. Sometimes people don't like drinking green smoothies, for example, because their blender's not powerful enough to blend it. And that was me back in the day. But then when I invested in a better blender, you know, smoothies became something that I eat often. And it's really good, especially if you're short on time, you don't have a lot of time to prepare, like a breakfast you can sit down and eat. Smoothies are just great because they're also very portable. You can take them with you in containers. So, again, you don't have to sacrifice your healthful breakfast or your healthful meal if you're eating smoothies maybe at multiple meals a day. You don't have to sacrifice the healthfulness. Get it all in, still stick to your schedule, still stick to your diet. So utilize smoothies. It just helps also with eating lighter. You know, if you're trying to eat lighter, that the smoothies just make a nice meal replacement for people who maybe don't want to necessarily prepare anything because maybe you don't know how to prepare something lighter, but you know how to make a smoothie, so hey. And usually the solstice is only observed for about, you know, either 3 days to a week after the solstice actually occurs, which is going to be on June 21st. So you have, like I said, 3 days to a week to actually observe and do what you want to do. But, I mean, you can observe it for as long as you want, but usually the energy of the solstice is usually you're trying to utilize it within the first 3 days after to a week after it happens. So, let's see. I want to see if there's anything else I want to mention about the smoothies. Okay, and also, too, because I have a lot of patients ask me this as well. Like, people may not feel that they're getting enough calories, or they may feel that they're not getting satisfied or filled up when they're changing their diet to, especially one that's including more vegetables and fruit. So let's say you want something a little bit more filling like that. Okay, that's fine. There are plenty of plant-based protein sources available, such as nuts, seeds, legumes, that you can add to your diet to give you that bulky, that more bulk-like feeling in your diet. Things that are going to have a lot of fiber and protein, and usually these foods also have more fat, and all those things can make the meal be more filling. So add in some nut butters. Add in some nut butters like almond butter, cashew butter, hemp seed butter, whatever, to your smoothies. You know, you can add, you can eat instead of, like, let's say you're avoiding animal proteins. Instead of animal flesh, you can eat chickpeas and black-eyed peas or lentils, you know, make you a stew, make you a veggie burger made with black beans or chickpeas, you know. So you can just find recipes online that have plant-based alternatives to some of your favorite dishes. If you're going to make a pizza, then find a pizza that's not made with, you know, those highly refined flours, so you can make your own. And instead of using, like, sausage and pepperoni and stuff on the top, you can use mushrooms. You know, you can marinate your mushrooms. You can make a walnut sausage, you know, or like a spicy walnut, not meatballs, right? And, yes, there are recipes for that online as well. So you can just find alternatives to some of your favorite foods that include plants, and you can have as great, if not even better, a meal than you did when you were eating the not-so-healthy foods. And then, like I said, these things like the nut butters and the legumes and the seeds, they're going to just give you more calories through the fat and the fiber and the protein that they have. You can also add in healthy oils like coconut oil, avocado, and other nut and seed oils like flaxseed or black currant seed oil. And that also can be added to like salads and smoothies and things like that to give more calories and a more feeling of fullness as well. But the rest of your meals should also be lighter, you know, like lunch and dinner. And as I mentioned, you know, is the solstice, the summer solstice, because it's that time of observing and, you know, looking to the new year and being thankful for the year that just passed, you know, we're also trying to really fine-tune our bodies and prepare our bodies to be able to function healthfully for the next year. So this is why the cleansing is happening. So while we're observing the solstice, we should also do things to free up our bodies, you know. So we're already putting in good things. We have to take out the bad stuff, right? So fast foods, you know, overly refined foods, overly processed foods, refined sugars and starches, those things are to be avoided or limited. You know, if for some reason you feel like you just can't avoid them, just limit them, eat them less. But I would say avoid them, because these are things that are going to definitely put a they're going to take a toll on your body's health. So like I said, no fast food. The prepackaged foods usually are very highly refined. Alcohol, caffeinated beverages, all these things need to be avoided completely or limited very much so during this time. I mean, you only have a few days, so, I mean, I would just say eliminate them, because your body will thank you for it. Then you will see the changes in your body from when you are not consuming those things. Also, animal products is another thing that's in the diet that can be very burdensome. So I'm not saying that you have to become vegan, but I'm saying if you're looking to cleanse or to detoxify, animal products or animal proteins, including dairy and eggs, they're very hard on the body's metabolism and the digestive system. So it's recommended. I recommend that for the observation of the solstice that you eliminate them while you're doing that. And this will just really free up the kidneys. It will free up the lymphatic system. It will help with inflammation if you're dealing with those kind of situations. So this is just another thing that you can do to help with just really utilizing that energy to revitalize the body during this time of the year. Another thing you can do is strive to make meals at home, you know, because when you make meals at home, it just helps you to better adhere to a lot of these changes in your diet. You know, when you go out, you have to ask 1,000 questions, like, oh, does this have animal products in it? Is this gluten-free? You know, does this have sugar? You know, if you don't mind doing that, then okay. But usually, like, the service person, the waitress, or whoever will look at you crazy, like, why are you even here? Like, why don't you just eat at home? You're going to be all health conscious and whatnot. And it's true, you know, if you are health conscious, you may not want to eat out as much, especially depending on where you're at. Like, if you're, like, in California or Atlanta or something like that, New York, and there's, like, plenty of, like, really health-conscious vegan or, you know, specialty vegetarian restaurants and things like that, then you may not have to worry about it as much. Even in Arizona, I can go out and eat a little bit more than I was able to when I lived in, like, Texas and South Carolina. Just because in the areas where I was, the community was not, they were just hardcore carnivores, so they thought they were carnivores, and you didn't really have as many options. But, of course, you know, nowadays, you know, even in Texas and South Carolina, that you can find spots like that. And then, you know, outside of those states, you know, like I said, Atlanta, California, or, you know, not Atlanta. I said Atlanta like it's its own state. Georgia, California, you know, you may have certain cities especially that have better options. And you may have restaurants that do adhere to a lot of these specialty items that people want. But for the most part, and economically, you know, it's better for you to just make the food at home so you can make as much as you want. You know, exactly what's in it, and you don't have to worry about it, especially when you're cleansing. You know, you don't really want to eat out when you're cleansing anyway. But it's good to know, I guess, some places you can eat, especially if it's something you want to carry with you after the solstice. This is something you want to start your new year with, and you want to maintain it. So it's good to find places like that if you're going to take out family, friends, you know. So, you know, make sure you find a balance. But during your solstice cleanse, during your solstice observation, I would recommend at-home meals for sure. Let's see. Yeah, that's all I need to say about that. Another thing I want to talk about is, oh, so I want to talk about just the times of day. Because, and I think I talked about this in one other show, but because we're working to reconnect to our natural rhythms with nature, right? We're trying to live with the seasons and just bring balance back into our lives. That's the whole point of the solstice, is to stand still, get ourselves right, and then move forward with more purpose and more understanding of where we need to go. So another way to do that is to eat with the movement of the sun. And I actually observe this. I observe this all the time to the best of my ability. Sometimes I'm not able to, or I'm not saying I'm not able to, but sometimes I feel like I can't do it, but it's not true. You can always do it. But now that I'm, you know, I've been doing this for a few years, it's a lot easier to observe. But to eat with the movement of the sun, you basically just eat according to the position of the sun throughout the day. For example, when the sun is just rising early in the morning, so when you're getting up, you know, before 6 to 9 a.m., so up until about 9 a.m., you want to eat your lightest meal for breakfast, so the lightest meal that you can. And then when the sun is at its, I'm going to expound on that a little bit. So you want to eat your lightest meal for breakfast before 9 a.m. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't eat much. That just means that you want to eat foods that are going to be light and hydrating and, you know, not too rich and starchy and heavy. Because think about it, the sun is rising. It's just getting up, you know, it's not at its highest point. It's just rising. So think about most people, and, you know, unless you're like the most morningest of morning people, and you are just bright eyed bushy tail in the morning, and you're ready to go, you know. For the most part, I feel that people like to wake up gently. Like, people don't want to be shaken awake. People don't usually like to be waken up by a screeching alarm. You wouldn't want to be woke up by somebody screaming at you or pulling you out of bed, right? So whether or not you're a morning person or not, I feel like most people would like to wake up naturally and, you know, calmly. So with that being said, when you do that, so when you eat, like, heavy meals in the morning, like pancakes, you know, toasted strudel, Pop-Tarts, and I'm talking about stuff that I used to eat in the morning, y'all, like, so this is where I'm really drawing this from. So I'm sure other people did the same thing. You know, you eating cereal, like all these sweet cereals. Some people have the audacity to drink energy drinks in the morning, you know, coffee. Think of all of those really rich things, those things that have a lot of sugar that are usually made with, like, refined starches and stuff in the morning. So think about that scenario about being shaken awake or, you know, screamed awake in the morning. That's what you're doing to your body when you do that. You're jolting, you're forcing your body into this false stimulation. When your body doesn't really need to be falsely stimulated, you know, unless you have to force yourself to go to a job you hate or or to get up and do something you don't want to do, which a lot of us have to do today or feel that we have to do today. So that's why a lot of times breakfast is this stimulating, this overstimulating thing, and that's really not healthy for us. And even though you can be helpful looking and think that you're healthy doing this every day of your life, you know, it'll catch up with you, and most people don't see it catch up with them until they get a little older. But, you know,
right,
it will catch up with you. And some people are feeling it now. I mean, especially like students, you know, that's like the life of a student, trying to be overstimulated so you can get to class, so that you can get up and take these tests, you know, or just the average person that's working and needs to get stimulated to do what they got to do. You know, most people are overstimulated, and people are tired now, not later, but they're tired now, and they're still tired. So changing the breakfast a lot of times can help with that. So try eating like a meal that's full of fruit or full of vegetables or full of, like a smoothie, something that I mentioned before. And having that be the way to wake your body up in the morning will be an even better choice for you. And you'll see it, you know, throughout the day, your energy will start to balance out. And then when we move into the afternoon or the noontime, this is the time when the sun is the highest in the sky. And when the sun is highest, energetically for us, our metabolism is also at its highest. Our digestive system is functioning at its highest. So this is the time when it's best to eat your heaviest meal of the day. So from about 11 to like about 3, 4 o'clock in the day, that's the best time to have your biggest meal, like your biggest lunch. And actually in some other countries, that's the way people eat. Like, usually people have what they call, they call it a siesta in some Spanish-speaking countries, like in the Caribbean and South America, where, like, basically a lot of businesses are closed even from about 12 to 3. And from 12 to 3, people are able to go home, or people are just able to take out time to, like, eat. And some people can actually go home and cook something because they have the time to eat, you know, this larger meal. But it makes sense that you would do that because this is the time when your digestive system and your metabolism are as high, so we can actually process, you know, the heavier food. So this is the time of the day when you want to eat your plant-based proteins, your beans and legumes, or the legumes like the lentils and chickpeas, and you can have like your avocados, and you can have richer sauces, and, you know, more fibrous things like your nuts and your seeds, and, you know, so that's when you want to have that. So not that you can't have some of those things in breakfast time, but you want your breakfast to predominantly be light. In the midday, that's when you want to try to eat your largest meal. And no, the largest meal is not going to give you the itis. It's not going to make you sleepy if it's helpful. If you're trying to eat like pizza, you're trying to go to Wendy's, you're trying to eat something really heavy from the food truck, you know, or something for lunch, yeah, it's going to knock you out if you eat like a grande, you know, burrito or whatever. That's going to knock you out and not make you useful for the rest of your work day, right? But if you eat something that you make at home, you know, gluten-free or, you know, something that has like lots of healthy plant-based proteins and greens and bell pepper and all that good stuff, it's going to sustain you. It's going to fill you up. You're going to feel satisfied, and you're going to be able to go throughout your day. That's the way you should be eating midday. Now, as we go past about 4 o'clock and we're going towards the evening time, again, we should be eating a lighter meal. Dinner should actually be lighter. It should not be the heaviest meal of the day, which is what most people did, including my family. We ate our heaviest meal, and everybody came home from school and work, which is like anywhere from like 6, 7, 8 o'clock. And then you would go to bed a few hours later, and that is not helpful. Our metabolism, again, like the sun, because the sun is descending, our metabolism is also descending. It's getting less robust. Our digestive system is preparing for rest and sleep, you know, for, you know, tonight. So it's not working as quickly and as robustly. So eat lighter things. You can have some light proteins, like, you know, you can have like quinoa, you know, you can have maybe some chickpeas. You can have like you know, lots of greens. Make sure you have a big salad for dinner, because you want things to help with you know, you want it to be very alkaline. You don't want to lay and go to bed on all this heavy, rich, starchy stuff. You know, so just make sure that breakfast is also light. Not breakfast, dinner is also light. So, so yeah, and then also make sure that before dinner, another good thing that I tell people to do is to eat, I mean, not to eat, to maybe take in some digestive fruits before dinner, or juices before dinner. Not a lot, just like a little bit. Like have a couple pieces of papaya or a couple pieces of pineapple, or you can make juice. Like papaya juice or pineapple juice, and have a few, like have a little shot of that before you eat your dinner, like about 30 minutes before, and that's going to help to get the enzymes going so that you're digesting even better for dinner time. You can even have like some slices of ginger or slices of, or you can have like a, you know, like a pieces of like dried ginger for people to chew after dinner to make sure that the digestive system is going to clear itself out before you actually lay down and go to bed. So so just make sure that you're observing that, and try observing that during the summer solstice time, and just see your digestive system just work for you so much better, see your health improve, see your energy improve, and that's what we're all trying to do during this time. You will see big changes in your health just by observing this for 3 to 7 days during the observation of the summer solstice. Some other types of cleansing activities you can do juice fast, water fast are always good. If you've never done a fast before, don't try to do a water fast, y'all. I don't even recommend people do water fast longer than 3 days, if that. That's like stretching it, maybe 1 or 2 days. And this is because most people don't know about their ability to even complete those kind of fasts. So if you want to do a water fast, usually it's better to go to like a place where they specialize in it, and it's like a retreat or a place where you can get away and, you know, have people around you that can monitor you. But juice fasts are better because it gives people more calories and more nutrition that they need to sustain them for work and school and things that they're doing. You can also just add juice into your diet daily, so you don't have to necessarily fast to add juices into your diet. So just you know, making a commitment to juice every day or a certain time of the week is also beneficial during this time. You can also do a liquid diet during the solstice or certain part of the solstice, where you take in only smoothies, soups, and juices for the duration. And that's another way to free up the body and to help with digestive issues. You can do a vegan diet or a raw vegan diet during this time to give your body a break from, like, the animal proteins. Or if you're already vegan, you can try the raw vegan, and that will give your body a break from a lot of what can be heavier cooked foods. One of my favorite cleanses to do, or for me to tell people to do during this time, is to do the white food elimination diet. So the white food elimination diet is where you don't eat any of those white refined foods. So no white sugar, no white flour, no white breads, pastas, no white beans, no white table salt, no dairy, and no eggs. So that would be the white food elimination diet, and that's really great, especially for people who are not trying to be vegan, they're not trying to be all this other stuff. They just want to take out foods that are, you know, the most detrimental. If you want to do that, this is something I recommend. You don't have to be vegan. You don't have to be gluten-free, all this other stuff. Just eliminate those foods, and you will see your health transform, I promise. Another one is no eating after sundown. That's another thing that you can observe during the solstice. And that's because, again, this goes with the So this goes kind of with the eating, with the movement of the sun. If you don't, so after sundown, again, your metabolism, your digestive system is really preparing for rest. So we really shouldn't be taking in any foods, you know, after that, because you can run into problems with digestion and problems with metabolism. So you can try to eat before sundown, no matter what time of day. Let's say you don't want to follow the sun movements. You just want to eat what you want to eat. But don't eat after sundown. And then you can see how that helps with some of your health problems. What happens when you don't eat after sundown is you give your body a longer intermittent fast. We call it intermittent fast because you're going from sundown to sunup with not eating, and that usually gives you at least about anywhere from, you know, from 12 to sometimes 18 hours in between eating again. And that's a good amount of time to give your digestive system and your whole body a break from having to digest new food that's coming in. And that gives your body more time for healing and regeneration. So the opportunities are endless. You can pretty much tailor your summer solstice cleansing diet how you want and where you feel you need the most support as far as your own health and what you need to do. So absolutely go forth and do what you need to do with your diet. I'm just going to name off a few more things. I know that we are over the time, but I just have a couple more things on my list that I wanted to mention. You can also add in high nutrition herbs into the diet as well, and other little superfoods. So I like sea vegetables. I always add sea vegetables into the diet because they're just high nutrient dense foods. Blue-green algae as well, flax seeds, chia seeds, prunes, goji berries, all of those help with just the body being nourished and helping with the digestive system during this time. Some herbs that you can keep on hand during this time are Cassiera sagrada. That's going to help with normalizing bowel movements, helping to cleanse out the digestive system. Also ginger, turmeric, which are anti-inflammatory, and they help with nourishing the liver and the lymphatic system and improving circulation. Dandelion root tea is good for nourishing the liver and supporting the liver for detoxification. For similar things as dandelion root, hibiscus tea is just a great summertime tea, full of vitamin C, very antioxidant. So it's going to help with cell rejuvenation, protecting against free radicals, and just giving you a lot of beta carotenes that are going to help with the immune system. Also, holy basil is another great adaptogenic herb. It helps with balancing the body out, hormones. It helps with balancing out hormones. It helps with balancing out neurotransmitters. It's a good lymphatic herb. Very good for just rebalancing, recalibrating the body. Sage is a great cleansing herb to take in. You can take it in as a tea. You can take it in as an herb. All of these help with just cleansing and rejuvenation. And because this is a time of giving thanks, remember the solstice is something that's supposed to be observed collectively. And, you know, make sure that you attend, or you can put together your own gathering to observe this time of the year with your loved ones. So you can do things like planning a group potluck or a picnic outside where you invite your family, your friends, and loved ones. You know, remember, this is a representative of the thankfulness for community and of the harvest, you know, both literally and figuratively in the food. They symbolize your, you know, blessings from your ancestors and the abundance that you received this year. You can take the time out to just be outside and enjoy nature and yourself. You can meditate. You can do meditate in the park. You can do yoga outside. Journal your thoughts and your reflections during this time. You can dance, play with your children in the park. You know, make sure you spend time outside. Soak up all of that good energy from the sun, you know, during this time of the year, you know. But make sure to stay hydrated, of course, and don't get overheated. Make sure there's some shade nearby when you need to, you know, get out of the sun, because it can be intense if you're not used to being outside as much. You can also, another great thing that I was thinking you could do is to plant something. You can plant something in honor of yourself, in honor of your family, your ancestors, you know, and then keep it watered, you know, make sure that you water it really good. And that can represent the flooding of the land, you know, during this time of the year that would be in Kemet. And then you can nurture it so that it will grow and manifest for the next year. So then you can harvest something. So So you can make sure that you plant something that will fruit, like a pepper plant or a tomato, or you can just plant a garden for the solstice, an herb garden. And then, you know, as you nurture it, it'll be ready for you to harvest from in the coming season. And then the next season, you can plant something else. And all of that represents creativity, fertility, and abundance again. So, of course, you know, you have to give thanks to your ancestors during this time, give thanks to all your loved ones and people who mean something to you, and let them all know how much you appreciate them, specifically if they are known to be a very hardworking person in the community, or if they help you, you know, in accomplishing anything in your life, you know, because this is a time of celebrating accomplishments and the work done and job well done and, you know, just, you know, surviving and being together for another year. So I'm sure that if you compliment these people, you know, you will be returned a compliment as well. You know, all of this in the spirit of this time will give you your due recognition and give other people in the community their due recognition and, you know, thanksgiving for all the work that they've done. Not that you were looking for that recognition, but, you know, you deserve it. We all deserve it if we're working hard to make our community work. So go out and have a wonderful and purposeful summer solstice. Go and make the most of it, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. So that's pretty much all I have for you. Let's see. Yep. So, oh, and like I said, remember this is the last live show. So like Kenya said, don't think that you can't ever hear us again. If you miss us, if you just have to hear some more Afifi and Kenya, then you can always go back to the archives, listen to our show. You can even go back and listen to this show if you missed it or you didn't catch the whole thing and you didn't hear something I said. You know, you can always go back. But that's pretty much all that I have. So with that, I hope that you all, you know, receive an abundance of sweet blessings of wealth, health, and creativity this summer. And I hope that everybody utilizes the solstice period to purify themselves, to regenerate themselves. And I hope that it brings everybody, you know, instances of rebirth, growth, and realization that they need. So with that, I wish everybody a fabulous weekend, and I will see you all in August. Peace.